Reading from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, March 21st, 2022. Are you experiencing March Madness? I know a lot of friends have been in front of the TV watching a lot of basketball. We haven't had a TV in about 6 years, so I haven't been watching any TV, but I've listened to a few of the Illini games over the air. But yeah, it's March Madness, so a lot of people are talking a lot about basketball. But today, we're going to be talking about prayer. We're going to be talking about the great ministry work that Wycliffe has been doing for many, many years in so many different countries, translating the scriptures, and I have a special guest. It's going to be a little bit of a testimony Tuesday on this Monday, and we're also going to do some readings from our book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. And if you hear some noise in the background, it might be a hammer or a drill or something going on. We have Jim Gunther and Ken Rowe. Ken Rowe serves on our radio board, and Jim Gunther, he's the all-purpose handyman that does about everything that the radio station needs. But they're getting ready for this Saturday's open house, the grand opening of the Great News Media Center here at Marketplace Mall. So they're moving ladders around and arranging a few things, but we appreciate them working behind the scenes and to get everything ready for this Saturday. We're working night and day to get the final things prepared. But today's program, aside from reading from our special book, we're going to learn about the great ministry work that Robin Gregory is doing for Wycliffe Bible Translators, and she's doing it locally here. Now, she's been in the field, Tanzania, in East Africa for about 7.5 years, and she's been working with Wycliffe Bible Translators for about 12 years. She's a publication typesetter and archivist. In fact, I already gave her a copy of our Prime Lifetimes publication and said, hey, maybe you could do a proofread once in a while or assist in various ways. And she said, hey, however the Lord would lead. So I'm delighting in the fact that I'm getting to know Robin a little better. She came just before the broadcast this morning, and so it's nice how God raises up different people. I call them divine appointments, people that have great God-honoring testimonies that want to share. And she's in the midst of raising support so she can continue to do her work right in the greater Champaign-Urbana area. So I'm going to introduce her in just a moment, but I want to point out a couple things. Tomorrow on Testimony Tuesday, I'll be in Springfield, and I'm going to be interviewing Almy Patton. She's the director of First Steps Women's Center of Springfield, and we're going to learn about the unique work that she's doing, providing services for women in crisis, women with unwanted pregnancies, how to bring healing and hope and clarity to these women, men and women that are struggling with what to do with an unplanned pregnancy and to work through all that. So that'll be tomorrow on Testimony Tuesday. So Robin, let's start with our readings today, and then I want to know about your ministry work, how God has called you to be a part of the Wycliffe Bible Translators and working with them the many years, and that story of going to Poland but ending up in Africa, how God has worked through your faith journey to raise you up to do this unique, special work. So how about we begin with our reading from Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders. We're in Chapter 2, and the title, the heading of this section is Prayer, First Things First.
Mark's gospel was tailored to the active lifestyle of the Romans. In chapter 1, Mark records a sample 24-hour time period in the life of Jesus. It's a day that nearly rivals one of Jack Bauer's days spent saving the world from terrorists. In the span of 24 hours, Jesus gave an amazing teaching at the synagogue, cast a violent, belligerent demon out of a man, and healed Simon Peter's mother, who in gratitude got up and fixed a lunch for Jesus and his disciples. He then spent the rest of the day and late into the night healing sick people and casting demons out of the terrorized. Whew! I cannot imagine a more draining day. If he were like most of us, after such a draining day of ministry, the next morning would have been spent sleeping in and chilling out. But Jesus lived and led at a different level. He had a deep capacity for ministry because he practiced a few holy habits that yielded powerful results. Was Jesus sleeping in the next day? No. Read verse 35 carefully. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Prayer was the first of Jesus' daily activities and appointments, the number one item on his calendar each day. If nothing else would get done that day, prayer would get done. Like Jesus, I also like to have my main prayer time first thing in the morning. I have learned that if I don't pray first thing in the morning, I often don't get to it. I have learned that if I start my day in prayer, the rest of the day always goes better.
And I'm going to jump in here. As I know with your ministry work, I'm sure you see prayer as essential. I know for me, if I don't pray first thing in the morning, because of so many pressing demands, projects to complete, and follow-up to attend to, it may get missed or relegated to about 11:30 at night after the day's work has been completed. Not ideal. So I'm very intentional and deliberate to pray first thing, and I'm thinking with all the ministry work you do through Wycliffe Bible Translators, you probably have to have prayer as a priority.
I absolutely do, because there are a lot of projects going on at one time. I have a little bit of an ADHD mind, and if I don't focus first thing in the morning on the Lord, I'm all over the place. Many other high-impact spiritual leaders down through the centuries have been practitioners of early morning prayers. For example, King David wrote, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." And that was from Psalm 5:3. Martin Luther was a busy guy. He pastored a church.
I like how he says, a busy guy. Martin Luther, yeah.
He pastored a church, taught in a seminary, wrote extensively, translated the Bible into German, and in his spare time, sparked the Protestant Reformation. He also was an advocate of praying first thing in the day. If I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. The biographers of Hudson Taylor, the intensely busy founder of the China Inland Mission, described the priority Taylor gave to prayer and Bible study. Taylor found it necessary to meet God very early in the day. When I say very early, I mean very early. His biographers write, "From 2 to 4 a.m. was the time that he usually gave to prayer, the time when he could be most sure of being undisturbed to wait upon God." At the age of 70, Taylor was quoted as telling one of his children, "I have just finished reading the Bible through today for the 40th time in 40 years. One of the biographies that most impacted my life is the life story of Dawson Trotman, founder of the Navigators. He was a very ordinary man with an extraordinary passion for God and prayer, who launched a worldwide organization that especially left a deep spiritual impact on the U.S. Navy in World War II. As a young man, he often met God early in the morning in the hills of Southern California to pray."
Now I'm going to pause again. Hey, listening friend, are you feeling a little healthy conviction, maybe that your prayer life isn't as focused as it should be, or maybe it's getting neglected or kind of relegated to, well, when I get a chance, I'll do it. When I read these words, wow, these saints, these worker bees for God were up at 2 and 3 in the morning or prayed 2 and 3 hours, and I'm feeling some good healthy conviction, not shame or anything, but Lord, help me to be more disciplined or intentional to spend those waking moments or even in the middle of the night times in prayer. How important for all of us to take to heart.
Once he covenanted to pray 2 hours early every morning before work for 40 straight days, near the end of the 40 days, he and a prayer partner prayed over a map of the world. Amazingly, before he died at the young age of 50 while saving someone from drowning, Trotman saw the fruit of his labor spanning the globe in answer to those early prayers. His biographer writes, "Dawson held on to his consuming purpose to become a man of God, a man of prayer." In looking back later, he had little doubt that his disciplined practice of prayer during the first 5 years of his Christian life laid a foundation for all of his subsequent ministry. John Wesley, one of the voices of the First Great Awakening and the father of Methodism, started each morning with 1 or 2 hours of prayer. Passionate pastor Robert Murray McShane.
By the way, Robin, you're doing great with all these names. Usually I have Marianne on Mondays doing a lot of the reading, and I sit back and like, oh, I'm glad she's reading these tough names, but you're doing it great, and I appreciate you reading. Marianne's been sick for about the last week and a half, so we're praying her up, and hopefully tomorrow she'll be back. And then Rob Seidenberg, our copy editor for the Prime Life Times publication, he had heart surgery this past week, actually on St. Patrick's Day, and so he's healing up with his heart being repaired and doing better, but we continue to pray up part of our Prime Lifetime staff team.
Passionate pastor Robert Murray McShane said, "I feel it is far better to begin with God, to see his face first, to get my soul near him before it is near another." I have the privilege of teaching in a seminary with nearly 100 students from South Korea. As you probably know, the church in Korea has grown explosively in the last few decades. One of the many things I love about these students is their willingness to pray Many of them gather every morning at 5:30 in our prayer chapel for an hour of prayer. While rare in North America, such early morning prayer meetings are common in South Korea. For example, Peter Wagner tells of attending the early morning prayer gatherings at Myeongsong Presbyterian Church in Seoul. The church had daily prayer meetings at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and 6 a.m., with a total attendance of 12,000. No wonder the number of Christians in South Korea has risen so dramatically the last several decades. Imagine, on August 15, 1988, 1 million Korean Christians gathered in an outdoor stadium to pray. One Korean pastor, whose church numbers hundreds of thousands of members, writes, "I'm not able to do all that I have been called to do without spending the minimum of 1 hour in prayer every morning."
Wow. Well, thank you, Robin. That was a reading from our book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders, by Dave Early. Each and every Monday for the last few months, we've been reading excerpts or portions of these chapters. And if you missed a portion of today's program or the past few Mondays, they're all archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, and also at WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends link. Well, Robin, you're my special guest on this Monday, kind of turning into a Testimony Tuesday, and we began the program with the verse from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, which says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here I am, send me." Now, is that how you got to Poland, via to where God wanted you in Africa? How did all that work out?
It is. It's a little bit of a roundabout story, but that's exactly what happened. Back in the year 2000, I was a brand new Christian. I came to the Lord as an adult. And I was at New Horizon, and we had an evening disciple Bible study class. And I don't know exactly what we were talking about, but that verse came up. And the leader of the group read that verse, and somebody in the room kind of chuckled and said, "Except to Africa." And we all laughed, and I laughed too. But inside, I'm thinking, well, I could go to Africa. And God didn't let go of that, and He didn't let me let go of that. Going to Africa for missions kept popping up in conversation and the things that I was reading. Over the next several years, I struggled with it because I know sometimes I like to make things up, you know, in my mind. Oh, that would be a great adventure. I should go do that. I bet God wants me to do that. Well, maybe He does, maybe He doesn't.
Right.
But it took me talking to the pastor at New Horizon, at that time was Roger Ross, and later the pastor at Quest, at that time was Andy Adams. And I lived up in Naperville for a while, and the pastor up there, Scott Field, was my pastor at a Methodist church up there. They all agreed that, yeah, God's doing something. Just keep listening. God's doing something. Keep listening. And when I was living up in Naperville, and this was probably about 2007 or 8, my church there was, which was Wheatland-Salem United Methodist Church up in Naperville, they're very active in missions, and they have some missionaries that they support in Tanzania, East Africa. And I thought, oh, this is my chance. They're sending a short-term team. I'll go with them. That'll be great. Then I'll learn how to be a missionary in Africa. Well, it turns out they didn't have a trip to Africa that year. They had a trip to Poland to teach English, an English camp for teenagers in Poland. So I went there thinking, well, that would be good practice for Africa. And I really don't know what my thought process was, but it had nothing to do with it. It wasn't anything at
all.
That's
like a big stepping stone
big
from Poland
to
Africa.
I was trying to make it fit is what I was trying to do. So I went to Poland with that group, and while I'm there, I'm thinking, I don't know that I'm being that effective here. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I was wrong about this whole mission thing. And God sent this woman to me. There was a counselor there named Dorota. Didn't speak a word of English. She came to me with a translator in tow. And she told me, about a vision that she had. She told me some things that God had been telling her and that she had been praying for me. And the things that she said just kind of blindsided me.
Sure.
So I went and I talked to the pastor of that camp, whose name was Mark Lodick. And he was just a very godly Saul Paul kind of guy. And he spoke to me and he prayed to me. And those two people, Dorota and Mark Lodick, changed my thought process completely.
Really used of God to help
absolutely
direct.
Absolutely. God spoke through them directly. And it's very specifically about Africa. And I left knowing, oh, I am supposed to go to Africa. And it sounds like such a crazy story. And I actually try to, you know, tell myself, well, that's a little bit of a coincidence. But no, that's exactly how God works.
Yeah, He had you go into Poland to learn about Africa. So how did you get fitted or set up to be a part of the Tanzanian team?
Well, when I got back to Naperville, one of the things Mark, the pastor there, told me was, he said, I think God's got something for you. I think he's got something for you that he's going to be telling you pretty soon. So listen. So I did. I went home and I listened. And I listened. And I really wasn't sure what my skills were to work in Africa. But I heard on the way home from work one day, I heard an interview on Moody Bible Radio with a man from Wycliffe Bible Translators. And he was talking about translating the Bible, and he said they need to hear it in their own language. And everything that God had been telling me through people and through, you know, sending me halfway around the world to speak with a woman who I don't know, who doesn't speak my language,
right.
And all of this, everything was pointing to languages. And I literally had to stop and pull off the side of the road because it spoke to me. Just like that. So that was my start with Wycliffe.
Now you're currently serving, doing publication typesetting and archiving and such. Did you have those skills, and was it one of these? Because I'm thinking for the many listeners tuned in, they might have skills that they think, well, I can't be a missionary because a missionary does this. But did you have some of these skills with writing, with working with languages or English or something that God prepared you for?
Actually, I didn't. Wycliffe trained me, but I know what you're saying is true. You know, my mother had trouble with this because with me going, she thought, well, I'm going to live in a mud hut somewhere, and you know, which is some people do,
right,
and that's
right.
Great. You know, I visited those people, but that's not necessarily the definition
sure.
of missions. There
right,
are many,
right.
many...
So you served in Tanzania for like 7.5 years. So take us through like a typical day or something that you did serving God through Wycliffe Bible Translators.
Well, once the translation process is done, now people have spent years, Tanzanian pastors and the people who translate for us, you know, it's their life's work.
Right.
They've spent 10, 20 years translating these scriptures. When they're done with that, it comes to me, and then I have the responsibility of getting it into print. And I, at the beginning of a project, like if I'm going to do a New Testament, I will travel to that part of the country, and I'll meet with those pastors who have spent years translating it. And we will talk about what they want it to look like, and we will go through all the specs, and I will walk away with an idea of what they want. In fact, I won't leave them that week without giving them a physical copy of the book of Matthew.
Sure.
For them to review and just to make sure that I'm on the right track. And then I will go back to my office and spend the next few weeks, couple months probably, or more, typesetting
right.
and laying out the entire New Testament. And that's including the illustrations and the footnotes and, you know, making sure that it's like a puzzle. It's like putting a puzzle.
Right, right.
I get to put a puzzle together. That's
right.
my job every day.
And what's so unique about this skill that you have, because you've done it for many years there, but you can also do it in your home computer here in the greater Champaign-Urbana area, and because of technology and Zoom calls and connecting with people and taking manuscripts, and you can really literally type it wherever you're at into a computer and then, you know, send the finished product back and forth. God has allowed you to be locally here because of some circumstances, because of your mother's health, who now she's with the Lord, but that was one of the reasons you returned, and because of your own heart condition and situation, you returned to this area. So currently, you're raising some funds to be able to continue to work with Wycliffe Bible Translators and do all this great work here in the greater Champaign-Urbana area. So if somebody's interested and wants to know more about you, and I trust that they will be praying for you, is there a website they can go to or a phone number they can call to find out more or to support you?
Absolutely, and thank you for mentioning that. They can go to wycliffe.org. That's wycliffe.org. That's wycliffe.org. wycliffe.org. And then click on Find a Missionary and type in my name, Robin Gregory, and it will take you to my ministry page, and it will tell you how to partner with me. Or they can call me directly here right in Champaign-Urbana. I would love to talk to you and tell you more about it and answer your questions. My number is 217-418-5395. That's 217-418-5395.
All right, listening friends, and if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, you can find it archived at greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org. Our special guest today on our Prayer Mondays, but we're also turning it into a bit of a Testimony Tuesday, is Robin Gregory. She's a publication typesetter and an archivist for the Wycliffe Bible Translators, and many of you are familiar with them. And our theme today was about prayer and spending time in prayer, and I know Robin Roman does that, and we need to be doing that on behalf of these great ministries that are serving the Lord. And we covet and appreciate all the prayer warriors that pray for this radio ministry. God does great things because of your prayers and how he responds to you. So thank you for the prayers on behalf of our ministry, on behalf of Robin, Wycliffe Bible Translators, and the great ministry work that they're doing, putting the scriptures in the language that speaks to the hearts of the local people throughout the world. So what a great ministry work. Well, Robin, it's been great having you, and I'll close out with a song by West Adams titled Go in Jesus' Name, exhorting everyone to put legs on your prayers like Robin did and go in Jesus' name. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Robin Gregory with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.
The walls didn't fall till Joshua had marched, and the rain didn't start till Noah built the ark. Old Naaman was not cleansed until the seventh day. The Lord is waiting on you while you've been waiting on him. Arise, get up, go in Jesus' name. Arise, get up, go in Jesus' name. Put legs on your prayers, wheels on your faith. You'll never be the same till you go in Jesus' name. Now look a little closer at Naaman's miracle back. Still sick and dying as he walked the dusty path. Stepping in the Jordan, no change could he feel. So what if he had just sat down? He'd never gotten healed. Arise, get up, go in Jesus' name. Arise, get up, go in Jesus' name. Put legs on your prayers, wheels on your faith. You'll never be the same till you go in Jesus' name. Sitting on the edge of despair, you've given up, cause now it seems he doesn't hear your prayer. Well, he's already done everything he said he'd do. Can you hear his voice? Make no mistake, he's talking to you. Arise, get up, go in Jesus' name.